From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this show on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. Four women who have publicly accused President Donald Trump of sexually assaulting them are speaking out once more in light of renewed news coverage. The hashtag MeToo movement has created an atmosphere where women are finally being taken seriously about their experiences of being victimized by powerful men. The fallout has impacted the highest echelons of government, with the stepping down of Senator Al Franken and Representatives John Conyers and Trent Franks. Democratic Senator Kristen Gillibrand told CNN, quote, Trump has committed assault, according to these women, and those are very credible allegations of misconduct and criminal activity, and he should be fully investigated and he should resign. Trump, who has openly and enthusiastically endorsed accused pedophile Roy Moore for a Senate seat representing Alabama, shot back at Senator Gillibrand on Twitter, saying, quote, lightweight Senator Kirsten Gillibrand, a total flunky for Chuck Schumer, and someone who would come to my office begging for campaign contributions not so long ago and would do anything for them, is now in the ring fighting against Trump. Many have denounced Trump's tweet as sexist and even veering on sexual harassment. Several senators, including Ron Wyden, Cory Booker, and Jeff Merkley, have called on Trump to be investigated. Even Trump's own cabinet member, Nikki Haley, former South Carolina governor and current U.S. representative at the UN, said not only should women be heard, but they should be believed. The women accusing Trump spoke at a press conference held by Brave New Films, which has created a powerful short video of all of Trump's accusers. The press conference took place on December 11th in New York and included Samantha Hovey, Rachel Crooks, Jessica Leeds, and Lisa Boyne, whom we'll hear from in just a moment. First, here is Robert Greenwald of Brave New Films introducing the women.
Trump should be investigated. Our elected officials, no matter what their party affiliation, should act. The women who Trump mistreated, the women who suffered his harassment, assault, sexual misbehavior, some of them have come together to speak out, to demand action. Others are joining us and will be joining us in other ways around the country. And in this too, and in this Me Too moment of reckoning, Trump does not get a pass, and the people who won't let him get a pass are here with us today to tell us what happened and what they want done.
Hello, my name is Samantha Holvey. As a little girl, I would watch the Miss USA pageant every year and dream of being one of those beautiful, successful, incredibly confident women. These dreams never included a man lining us all up to look us over like we were pieces of meat. These dreams never included a man coming into the backstage hair and makeup area while I sat naked under a robe as he walked around looking at us like we were his property before he moved into the dressing room. And these dreams certainly never included this same man becoming president of the United States. I have a new dream now that this man will be held accountable for his actions, and that future generations of women can fulfill their dreams without worry of anyone treating them like they are less than because they're a woman. Thank you.
My name is Rachel Crooks, and I think you're all probably familiar with my story. About 12 years ago, as a young receptionist in Trump Tower, I was forcibly kissed by Mr. Trump during our first introduction. Mr. Trump repeatedly kissed my cheeks and ultimately my lips in an encounter that has since impacted my life well beyond the initial occurrence and feelings of self-doubt and insignificance I had. Unfortunately, given Mr. Trump's notoriety and the fact that he was a partner of my employer's, not to mention the owner of the building, I felt there was nothing I could do. Given this hostile work environment, my only solution at the time was to simply avoid additional encounters with him. I do realize that in the grand scheme of things, there are far worse cases of sexual harassment, misconduct, and assault, but make no mistake, there is no acceptable level of such behavior. That some men think they can use their power, position, or notoriety to demean and attack women speaks to their character, not ours. which, believe me, is a tough lesson learned. In my case, I only felt the redemption of knowing it was not my own flaws to blame when I read the account of Temple Taggart, whose story had so mirrored my own that I finally felt absolved of the guilt that I had somehow projected an image that made me an easy target. Instead, this was serial misconduct and perversion on the part of Mr. Trump. Unfortunately, this behavior isn't rare in our society, and people of all backgrounds can be victims. The only reason I'm here today is because this offender is now the president of our country. I can promise you that I would much rather have gained public interest because of something great that I accomplished, rather than something, in this case, quite negative that happened to me. I shared my story last year because it was relevant. Mr. Trump dismissed his words in the Access Hollywood tape as locker room talk, but having been the victim of such actions, I knew better. I decided to let my encounter with him be known along with the various others, yet our stories seem to fall on deaf ears. Recently, the Me Too movement has gained momentum and women have found strength in one another and the courage to come forward, leading many powerful men to suffer the consequences of their actions. Trump, however, has escaped his path unscathed, but over a dozen women have come forward about his sexual misconduct, and we have video proof of him promoting such behavior. In an objective setting, without question, a person with this record would have entered the graveyard of political aspirations, never to return. Yet here we are with that man as president. I want to believe that as Americans, we can put aside our political inclinations and admit that some things, in fact, do transcend politics, that we will hold Mr. Trump to the same standard as Harvey Weinstein and the other men who were held accountable for their reprehensible behavior. Therefore, I ask that Congress put aside their party affiliations and investigate Mr. Trump's history of sexual misconduct. Thank you.
I'm Jessica Leeds, and I'm the senior member of this group. My story goes way back, and it was an episode on an airplane where I sat next to Trump, and he decided that he was bored and wanted some entertainment. I managed to get away from him and go away, but then 3 years later, I ran into him again, and he remembered me. So that really stuck in my memory. Years later, I come to realize that he is serious about running for president. And I start telling my story. 30 years had elapsed, at least. But I told everybody. I told my friends. I told my neighbors. I told my book club. I told the ladies at the Y. I told anybody and everybody that I could. That. You want to know what kind of person Trump is, this man who's running for president? Let me tell you what kind of person this is. So obviously, when the Hollywood tape came out and then the debates happened, I got so angry that I wrote a letter to the editor of the New York Times. They responded, not just with publishing a letter. They did a video and they did a story. Never in a million years did I ever think that one day I would open up my door and pick up my newspaper and find my picture on the front page. The story was as simple as what I just explained. It was an encounter on an airplane and a totally inappropriate behavior on his part. So then there was a kind of a media scrum, as I call it, and then the election came and he won. And I was absolutely destroyed. But I figured the United States is a big, strong country. We can survive this person. But during the course of the year, I kept hearing from people who would come up to me on the street, in the subway, at the library, at the grocery store, at an airport one time, in the swimming pool, all people. And everybody had a story. Everybody had some experience of being vulnerable and being attacked. And, you know, I thought things had gotten better for women in business, but apparently I was wrong. Then the anniversary came of his election. There was some renewed interest by the media as to, you know, what I thought and all that. And then the Weinstein story hit, and it was like an explosion in a shingle factory. It just, things were flying all over the place. And it became apparent that in some areas, the accusations of sexual aggression were being taken seriously, and people were being held accountable, except for our president, and he was not being held accountable. In fact, his staff made a big point of calling us all liars. So we're at the position now where in some areas of our society, people are being held accountable for unwanted behavior. But we are not holding our president accountable for what he is and who he is. So I'd like to see this moment. I think the Me Too movement is quite fascinating, and I'm hoping that it creates more movement and that we get a change. But we shall see, and we all have to hope. None of us want this attention. None of us are comfortable with it. I mean, if we had been comfortable with being a star, we would have done something else with our lives. But this is important, so when asked, we speak out.
Hi, Allison with CNN. Jessica, this is for a question for you. When you had that episode with Mr. Trump on the airplane, can you give us some details as to what happened and also what happened 3 years later? Just give some details about those encounters.
Well, I was a traveling sales rep for a paper company, and at that time there were very few women traveling business. And I was on this airplane. I cannot remember whether it was Dallas or Atlanta, but coming back to New York. And the steward this came down the aisle and asked me, would I like to come up to first class? And this had happened before. I'd been invited up to first class several times. I sat next to some really interesting people like George Steinbrenner and Ralph Nader and various CEOs of company. It was not unusual. So and the food was so much better in first class. So I went up and sat down, and this gentleman was sitting on the window. It was right against the bulkhead, and he introduced himself as Donald Trump. Well, I didn't work out of New York City, so I didn't have any awareness of the Trump name or the Trump business or Donald Trump. So we had dinner. They served the dinner and cleared the dinner. And about that time, he jumped all over me. And he grabbed me, and he was trying to kiss me and everything. And as I recall, he didn't say anything. And I certainly didn't say anything. I didn't yell or ask for help. I remember at one point looking over at the guy sitting in the across the aisle and thinking, well, why doesn't he come to my aid? I wondered where in hell the stewardess was. But it's when he started to put his hand up my skirt. And that was the last time I wore a skirt traveling. Then I managed, because I'm not a small person, I managed to wrestle myself out of the seat and stood up, grabbed my purse, and went to the back of the airplane and sat back there until the plane landed. Let the plane deplane, all the people get off before I left, because I didn't want to run into him again. Fast forward 3 years. I'm now living in New York City, and I go to work for the Humane Society on 59th Street, and they're going to have this big fancy fundraising gala at Saks Fifth Avenue. And they asked me to man the table that distributed the table distributions. So I go, and it's absolutely a New York scene. I got to meet all the designers. I got to meet various and sundry people, because the Humane Society as a charity was very interested in inviting all the celebrities in town. And that's when I became aware that Donald Trump was the Donald Trump of the Trump family of New York City. And I recognized his picture. I remembered him. People remember when they're assaulted. They remember when, where, why, and what they had on, and they remember how they got out of it. They remember everything, even if it happened when they were 8 years old. So I'm handing out the chits for the table, and up comes Donald Trump, and at that time, his wife, Ivana, right? And Ivana was very pregnant. And I hand him the ticket, and I'm thinking in the back of my mind, yeah, that's the guy. And he looks at me, and he says, I remember you. You're the woman from the airplane. Only he used another term before woman. And it cleared the room. It absolutely cleared the room. And I thought, oh, boy. But he went on, and I went home, and that was the end of the story. Well, that was 1983, when in 2016, when I realized that he was really serious about running for president, I started telling my story to everybody. I said, let me tell you what kind of a person this Donald Trump is. I told everybody that I could get to sit down, and I told my family, and I told my friends, I told my neighbors, I told everybody. That some people didn't believe me, which I understand completely because it was so long ago, but I wanted to get it out. And then the debates happened, and he lied about, and also the Hollywood bus tapes came out. And I just was so infuriated that I wrote a letter to the editor. And they called me, and I thought, I'm going to get my letter published. This is really super. But no, they sent over a reporter. They asked for the people that I had told over the year. They called them. They confirmed the story. And then they wrote it up. And that's really what happened.
Hi there, I'm Renita Young from Reuters. Specifically, are the three of you asking for a congressional investigation, and from what committees, and if not, what specifically do you want to happen?
They've investigated other Congress members, so I think it only stands fair that he be investigated as well. And I think also a nonpartisan investigation is very important. Not just for him, but for anybody that has allegations against them. This isn't a partisan issue. This is how women are treated every day. This isn't a partisan issue.
If they were willing to investigate Senator Franken, I think it's only fair that they do the same for Trump.
Hi, Tamara with Fox News. Summer Zervos was just in court. She has a defamation suit against the president. Does that give you any hope? What do you hope the outcome of that is? And do you see future similar lawsuits like that? Do you think that that's your path to getting justice?
I was asked that on my interview in CNN last year. And I mean, what am I going to sue him for? Being really creepy? That's not something that would stand up in court. But what I'm more concerned about is, as a culture in our country, what is acceptable behavior? And if the standard that our president is setting, it's not high enough right now.
The court of public opinion, I think, would be the best place, in my opinion, for this to be judged. Like you said, it's a cultural thing, and we shouldn't let politicians get away with this.
In my situation, it's so old that I don't even think a judge would even enter into any sort of case on it. So I don't have any thoughts of going to the courts for this. This is really a matter of... we have to deal with the public, and we have to deal with attitudes and changing a cultural phenomena here. So I don't think the courts are the place to go.
Amy Goodman from Democracy Now! I was wondering if each of you could respond to President Trump endorsing the accused pedophile Roy Moore for the U.S. Senate. And if you feel that President Trump should resign.
I think the endorsement is disgusting, absolutely disgusting. And two,
I don't think you should have been elected to begin with. I think with all of the women coming forward, and so many of the women that we've, this is the first time we've ever met, and so many of the women having the same stories, and, you know, him just being so braggadocious about this throughout the years, and for there to be audio and video of him saying these things, you know, it's just, yes, I believe, you know, other folks have resigned. I think he should. I don't think he ever will. But I think he should. But I think it's, you know, the public needs to be aware. They need to know this is the type of person he is.
I think he is trying to back, for political expediency, somebody who's going to win. He doesn't have any moral compass. So the accusations against Roy Moore, you know, puts him in the same category of, well, I didn't do that to those women, so why should I believe those women down in Alabama? It's really horrifying. And it's confusing because you would think that the good people of Alabama could see through this, but we've gotten so polarized with the politics that they want to keep a Republican seat even though it's a pedophile. I think Trump will eventually be forced to quit, resign. Probably most likely because of financial matters in the Mueller investigation. I unfortunately feel that the sexual aggression issue is kind of low on the list of things wrong with Trump. But it's important enough to me to bring this up and hope that we can get some sort of change in our culture that will improve the situation going forward.
Nothing shocks me or surprises me about Trump anymore. In fact, I think his endorsement of Roy Moore makes perfect sense for him because he was able to just deny, you know, what we said, and that got him elected just fine. So, you know, it's like he's passing the torch for Roy to do the same. In terms of resigning, I think it's probably the right thing to do, but I would never imagine he's going to do that. So I think the investigation by Congress is probably the only thing we can ask for.
Lisa Boynet, who is also in the video, is on phone, and we're going to drop the phone, the mic next to it, so hopefully you'll get some audio.
Hi. First of all, I like to thank the women that are alive and came forward and apologize. I've been sick with my kids, my family, the whole weekend, and I was unable to make it today. So I want to sort of remember their courage for getting there and standing up, and apologize for not being there in person. I met Donald Trump in the early 90s. I had been invited by a mutual friend to a dinner party he was throwing with the model agent John Casablancas. He actually picked me up in his limo with Sonia Morgan, who was a friend at the time. And I rode in his limo down to a restaurant in the West Village. And the whole ride down, it was just him talking derogatory about women, about how they looked, who was dating, who was sleeping. He wanted us to rate them on a scale of 1 to 10. It was very offensive. When we got to the restaurant, I was seated at a sort of roundish banquette type of table and sort of flanked by other people sitting sort of next to John Casablancas. And I don't remember where Donald Trump was sitting, but I do remember that they used the table as a casting couch. So rather than, you know, John Casablancas wanted Trump to meet some women that I would imagine worked for him, and he had these other women who had another table brought over to our table one by one, and rather than everybody getting up from the table, he asked them to walk across the table. So it was this sort of misogynistic power play where these women who, I'm assuming John Casablancas could make or break his career, were instructed to walk across the table, you know, as part of their work duties. So they did what he said, and they walked across the table. And as they did it, Trump looked under his skirts, made inappropriate comments. And then, you know, the line was sort of come across the table to meet the Donald. And they did. And I sort of watched this go on for maybe 20, 30 minutes. And I was really sort of revulsed. And after a while, even before food arrived, or while it was going on, John Cassavetes was, like, interrogating me, badgering me to drink. And I felt really threatened at the time. I refused to drink. He was saying that I was rude, that he was got really angry at me for not drinking, which was really bizarre. I don't remember in my lifetime anyone ever being caring one way or the other whether or not I drank, but it seemed like it really bothered him that I wasn't doing something that he instructed me to do. Like all the other women that were in the room were sort of compliant and complicit and going along with the sort of antics that were going on, and maybe after 40 minutes of it, I literally stood up. I said I wanted to go to the bathroom, excused myself, went to the bathroom, came back, excused myself from the dinner, and left. And never, you know, spoke to him again about it. And no one got me a cab. Nobody made sure I got home okay. I left on my own, took a cab, went home, and, you know, forgot about it for many years. I want to say one thing. You know, I came forward, and I came forward in May of 2016. I actually sent an email to Megan Toohey. I told people about the story over the years, and most of the time when I told the story, people were sort of like, well, you know, what were you even doing, you know, with hanging out with Donald Trump, and he was a lot older than you, and so it was sort of met with, like, criticism and shame. And Megan Toohey didn't even bother following up with my story until 6 months later, when the Access Hollywood tape came out. It wasn't, you know, no one really cared much about, you know, I guess when he was about to become president, but no one really cared about my story, you know, for 25 plus years. And no one, even when I started telling the story, when Donald Trump was running for president, cared about the story until right after the Access Hollywood tape. And that was another reason for me to come forward again, because, you know, when he said the things that he said on the tape, as a parent, I was so deeply, deeply offended. And far more than anything that happened to me that night. And I was offended because here's someone that had a kid that was his son, that was around the age of my own son, maybe a little younger he is. And what type of values are we teaching our children by saying that something that a rapist would say in a 4chan chat room on a Tor browser publicly is locker room talk? I've never been so personally assaulted and offended, not even by what happened that night, but by him normalizing, saying that he sexually assaults women as locker room talk, and then his wife saying that, talking like that, is boy talk. I guess that far more than anything else, the thing that really makes me just so intense at this time is that everybody's normalizing him saying what he said as something that boys and men say in locker rooms. And it's not. That is the talk of horrible people. And Donald Trump, he keeps saying it to the press pool. He keeps calling that out, locker room talk. And you're all taking it in like it's normal. And that is not a normal way for anybody to talk. I mean, why are people calling him out on that? All these other things, he keeps normalizing with something that's so horrific. And I'm just fed up of listening to people just take that in like it's, you know, like it's nothing. This isn't how we should teach our boys to talk, how anybody should talk ever. So aside from the thing that happened, it didn't even happen to me. It really happened to other women, which was horrible. The horrible thing of all this is we're walking around like locker room talk. It's horrendous. And that's really why I came forward in October. That's why I'm coming forward now. That's why I've called my senator, Murphy and my congressman, Jim Himes, and demanded them today to demand that Donald Trump steps down like Al Franken, because what he's said, what he's acknowledged, what he's made appropriate culturally is 1,000 times worse. It's 1,000 times worse than anything Al Franken's done.
That was Lisa Boyne on the phone speaking at a press conference alongside Samantha Hovey, Rachel Crooks, Jessica Leeds, four of more than a dozen women who have accused Donald Trump of sexual assault. The event was organized by Brave New Films and took place on December 11th. I'm Sonali Kohatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.